Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 in the evening. My name is Bilal Muzaffar. I'm a senior studying economics and statistics at Indiana University, and I hope to attend law school after graduation. And today I am with
Barsha Anand, and I am a junior studying creative advertising, minoring in marketing and psychology. And today we're going to be talking about different films, mostly of the international sort, and the different themes we see across them and how they tie into our identity.
So movies have always been an important part of my life, it's particularly Bollywood movies. Growing up, it's really a great experience, I think, for South Asian people to get immersed in their culture. And Barsha, do you feel the same about that?
Yeah, for me, I was never really great at my native language, which was Tamil. And even then, there's not that many Tamil movies that are in mainstream media. But the thing about movies is that you don't really have to know the language. It's very much passes language and even culture barriers sometimes. So it's something you can really enjoy with your family, especially, and share that experience. I think it's a very special medium in that way.
Yeah, that's a great point. I feel like I had the same experiences with you where I didn't feel extremely confident in my family's native tongue, which is Urdu. Urdu is very similar to Hindi. And watching all these Bollywood movies, especially because a lot of them are in Hindi, it's not only a great way to like practice learning the language, but yeah, it is a great bonding experience, I think, with family as well. And I know you and I and some of our other friends, we have used movies as a great way to, you know, for like hangouts and things like that. And it's especially great in the age of COVID because, you know, at a time where social interactions have been extremely limited, we can still get together using like a Netflix party or, you know, all different types of ways of getting together virtually, just like watch movies and discuss them. And typically we'll watch things that are like Indian movies, but sometimes we'll even watch other international movies that aren't South Asian. And it's great because it's a way for us to get together with ourselves and with our friends who aren't South Asian. And yeah, we've basically just noticed a lot of themes in these movies that we've seen over the years. And we just kind of wanted to discuss those today.
Yes, so this ties into, I think, the general movie experience we all had, where at least I personally watched a lot of these films as a child and then grew up and started rewatching them as an adult. And I really picked out a lot of themes. And one theme that we definitely noticed was the theme of childhood. I feel like in India, particularly, there's a lot of importance placed on children, but there's also a lot of bad things that children experience that I think people really want to point out through film.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we can just get right into this then. So I guess what we can do is we can briefly go over what a movie's about and then talk about what we saw in that movie. So the first movie that I have listed here that really touches upon like childhood and growing up and the difficulties surrounding that is Taare Zameen Par. So Taare Zameen Par is probably one of my favorite, probably like my second favorite Bollywood movie or maybe movie of all time. It's about a child who has a couple learning disabilities. I think he has dyslexia and then I think maybe an attention deficit type of thing as well.
Yeah, some type of attention disorder.
Exactly, yeah. And so his name is Ishan, and basically he's always counted out in school because he's never doing well in school because he's never given the resources necessary to thrive. But he finally meets a teacher who is played by our favorite Aamir Khan. We love Aamir Khan in this podcast. Basically this new teacher is able to see the potential in this student who, although he has learning disabilities, he has so much more to him. He is so creative, so artistic. There's so many things about him. And it basically details how he is able to thrive in this new environment when somebody actually gives him the resources that he needs.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I think it can apply to like almost any child, because in this movie Ishan is really like the quote-unquote naughty kid, He's always causing trouble for like his classmates, his teacher, his family, even who like even the people who love him so much aren't unable to understand him. And so meeting this teacher really changes his life, and it shows you how much impact just a little bit of understanding, kindness, and especially patience can do for children.
Yeah, and one thing that you brought up that I hadn't even considered was the, you know, internal conflict within like his own family. So not all, it's not just like, you know, classmates making fun of him and things like that. It's a big part of it is his father, who is very like not understanding of a situation, and no one in his family understands the situation, but at least his brother and his mom, they, you know, try to be a bit more empathetic, but his father really isn't on that same page throughout. And it kind of shows that, you know, a lot of, and it doesn't just have to be, you know, like South Asian kids, but like kids in general, if they have like a strained relationship with one or maybe both of their parents, it can, you know, cause a lot of issues that are like, you know, extend outside of the family. And I guess it also talks about, you know, his brother, he has like, there's this big dichotomy between Ishin and his older brother. His older brother is this like superstar in school. Like he is like at the top of his class. I think he's like a tennis star as well in his school. And it basically shows how, you know, if you are like a South Asian student or a South Asian child and you excel in certain types of things, you're automatically put on this pedestal. Whereas if you're excelling in different things, like Ishin really excels in art and like so many different things. He's so funny. And if you excel in those kinds of things, even though you have these great qualities and these great skills, it doesn't really carry as much weight, which I think can be really damaging to South Asian kids.
Yeah, and I think the movie does a good job of, especially with the mother, not necessarily villainizing her, because it does put you in the perspective of a parent who just wants the best for their children, and they see their son who's like struggling and they don't understand how to help him, and they can't help but be like, why him? Like, why is this happening to him? Why, when our other son was perfectly fine? And it's just like that dissonance of wanting the best for your kid, but not having the resources to give them the best or know what actually is the best for them.
Yeah, definitely. So do you think we should segue off to like the next movie then?
Oh, yes. So Netflix has been increasing the amount of South Asian representation on there, and a lot of people have mixed thoughts. But I know I watched Indian Matchmaking when it first came out, and the concept of arranged marriages in other people's minds has always been interesting to me, because my parents had what they would call an arranged marriage, but what that means is very different than what I think a lot of people assume. A lot of people assume that like you meet your husband at the altar and he's like 40 years older than you and he's like your uncle or something. Like those types of stereotypes I think are really harmful, and they're truly not the majority of what people experience. And it's really just blind dating. It's what the show is just a lady who is basically doing Tinder manually, finding people who are good matches for each other. And if they don't work, she just has another picture on hand, gives the stats. And if you like him, then you can go on a couple of dates with him, decide to get into a relationship. But there's no, absolutely no like promise of marriage or things like that. And I think it's a very good representation about what dating actually is like in that way.
Definitely. I think, you know, that's something that I've definitely been more proud of growing up, this element of our culture, because, you know, my parents, they also had like an arranged marriage, but that just means that somebody introduced them to each other. They didn't just like, you know, meet at school or anything. And that's totally fine. And when you think about the way that we have these like stereotypes in the Western world about arranged marriages, it can be a little frustrating, because we'll have people who will like shame this concept or talk about how like backwards it is. And then they, you know, go on to watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, which in essence is the exact same thing, where these people didn't meet before. There's, you know, one person everyone is kind of hoping to marry. And so they have this, they get the bio data, which in essence is what, I think her name is Seema, what she does in Indian Matchmaking. So she get, you get the bio data, you get to learn about this person, and then you're interested. So you try to present yourself in a way where, you know, you look like you would be like a good spouse, like a good option for this person. And like, this is literally arranged marriage. This is how like the process goes. It's just obviously with a camera behind. And so everyone can kind of see what's going on. It's not like a private, you know, family ordeal that it is in the real world. But at the end of the day, it's the same concept. So I do think that Indian matchmaking is a good way to look at how arranged marriages actually are. I guess one of the issues that I have, and I know like a lot of people like critique Indian matchmaking on this, is it really only focuses on the like upper class type of people. Yeah, like the people who, you know, they have the means, they also, most of these occurrences are in the US. I know there are some stories in that, or some scenes in that show that are in India as well. But at the end of the day, they're all people with money and with, you know, clout, for lack of a better word. And so I wish, and I know maybe like every show and every movie has its own scope. So maybe like another show could take this on, or maybe Indian matchmaking could take this on in another season, but maybe they could do a better job at representing like all different classes, like all different social classes.
Yeah, I do agree with that. It does play into the like model minority, like rich Asian people stereotype, which I understand compared to other stereotypes, like especially other racial stereotypes. Being rich is not like the most harmful one, but it does kind of skew people's perception of South Asian and Asian minorities in general, and like their needs and like their needs in America. So I think in that regard, it could be a little damaging. And also some of the characters, I mean, this is the reality with all shows like this, but they did villainize some of the characters a lot. And I feel like if it's from a culture that you're not familiar with, it's kind of harder to see that it's fake, that it's all editing. But in general, I do think the way it portrayed matchmaking is a lot more accurate than what some people assume.
Exactly. I think it's definitely a step above what people think the discourse around arranged marriages was before. So definitely a step above, but obviously still room for improvement, like anything. And the reason we kind of put this in this theme of childhood, it's, I guess it's more about like young adulthood, but I think in the South Asian community, marriage is something, I don't know, I can't speak for like women, but probably especially for women, that's like kind of talked about from like a very young age. It's almost as if, you know, there's this big taboo about relationships all throughout your childhood, but then at the back of your mind, you know that someday you're supposed to get married, and it might be like a very like sudden thing. So that's why I wanted to put this in like that theme of childhood, because even though it's kind of more so like young or maybe even like later adulthood, it's still about like, you know, growing up and like entering like a new phase in your life. And it's about something that kind of affects the way that children view their lives from the very beginning.
Yeah, in terms of like my personal experiences with that, I feel like more so than my parents, I just felt that like community pressure to not want to date as a child. And only later on did I realize that like my parents were definitely all for it. They just never brought it up first. So it's really interesting how I felt those pressures, even though they were never directly said to me.
These are really good points. So now if we want to transition into my favorite movie of all time, this will be probably the last thing we talk about in terms of childhood before we move on to our other theme. But some of these movies that we mentioned, they'll also be mentioned in our other theme as well. But we can talk about Three Idiots. So Three Idiots is basically about a group of, honestly, like unsuspecting, like three friends. They're very, very different. They come from different backgrounds, you know, whether it's about wealth or family expectations and things like that. It's about three friends who meet in this university. They're all studying to become engineers. But as the title might suggest, they clown around a little bit. They're very bright, intelligent people, and they all have so much to offer. But it's called Three Idiots because they're not just the conventional, you know, like smart South Asian person, you know, get good grades and, you know, get a good engineering job or whatever. They really find this like bond in just like being silly together and always, you know, like pranking like their professor Virus. And yeah, do you want to talk about this film and about what we love so much about it?
Yeah, so this is really a film that I feel like a lot of people who aren't into Bollywood have heard of, if they heard of anything other than like Slumdog Millionaire. I really like it because it definitely feels like it's a very exaggerated version of real life in terms of the ups and downs that you go through. And the reason why we connected this to childhood is that, spoiler alert, one of the idiots in question has a very, very different and unique upbringing where his situation places him in a position where he would not have even been able to attend school at all. He would have been a servant if it wasn't for the fact that he was like, he's going to school under someone else's name so that they can get a degree and without having to work for it. So he is given an opportunity that is almost unheard of, and it is under like very upsetting terms that he has to do it. He can't even go by his own name. But then as he grows up and as the movie follows, they find out that after he graduated, he just disappeared because he had to, because the person he was on of retook his identity. And he starts this huge company and this school for children who were just like him, who didn't have those learning opportunities, who didn't have the resources, the community to support him or support those kids. And it's a very like admirable movie and a very admirable thing to say, if you're successful, it is your responsibility to help other people become successful. And that wasn't the case for a lot of the other more rich, high class, high society people that we meet in this movie.
Yeah, sure. It's a very great movie. It puts, like you said, it's very dramatized, very exaggerated, whether it's the positives or the negatives of life. But it's a great movie that is obviously inspiring, and it allows you to embrace your inner childhood, because there's like that age old saying, how does it go? It's like, growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional, or something like that. So it's a little cliche, but it is cute in the sense that these grown adults can find so much success and so much love and happiness without ever having to sacrifice the childlike experiences that got them to where they were, to where they end up.
Yeah, yes, because there's definitely some very heavy themes in this movie. But the like optimism and the joy that like each character brings along with them that would typically be seen as childish is what allows them to pull through those experiences.
Probably my favorite movie of all time. Would recommend to any of our listeners to watch this movie. And if you've already seen it, then watch it again. Because the second time watching it, that was when I watched it with Varsha. And I don't think I've ever laughed and cried so much in one single movie.
Yes, the tissue boxes were definitely out.
Yes, we were messes. All right, so that was a lot to do with the childhood element that we saw in a lot of these movies and even TV shows. So I guess we can move on to our other topic, which is about discrimination within the community. So a lot of the films and shows that we've seen, like we've already kind of touched upon in some of the childhood elements, you know, we were talking about like differences in wealth and, you know, like social standing and things like that. So we've already kind of touched upon some of it, but we're going to really hone in on that now. And we have a few movies that we want to talk about where that we have seen, and obviously this is like intentional, like this is like the director's choice, where they highlight kind of the discrimination that exists within community. So Varsha, you mentioned to me PK, which isn't a movie that I've seen. But from the description that you gave, it's definitely a movie that I really do want to watch now. I'm hooked already. So if you want to talk about this movie a little bit.
Yes, this is PK, directed and also starred by, once again, Amir Khan.
Period.
It actually, it has some very controversial themes that I think would typically not be very well received in a country like India, because it talks a lot about religion. And when you're in a country that has almost one centralized religion, you can get into like some hot water. But they really avoid doing this by kind of making it like a kid's movie. Like, this is at its core an alien movie. Like, the main character is from outer space and he has like bright green contacts and is like, I think he's wearing red lipstick, like to make him look like an alien. It feels very silly and he gets into many funny antics. But the plot is that he has become stranded on planet Earth and he's trying to get back home. He's trying to find this device that that's been stolen from him that will get him back home. And everyone that he turns to for help will tell him to pray to God. And he doesn't understand this concept of God. So he's asking, who's this God guy? Like, who is this guy who apparently knows where my transportation device is and isn't giving it to me? So everyone who he asks tells him a different answer. And it touches upon all the different religions that you can see in India, especially like the very niche ones as well. And you see how he almost kind of not trivializes, but points out that religion is not necessarily something that should divide people. It shouldn't be something that you can discriminate on, because at its core, it's your own beliefs. It's not something, it's very personal. It's not something to inflict onto others, which is what we see a lot happen to the other characters in this movie. One of which is a Hindu girl who falls in love with a Muslim man, and her family and in reality, he's kind of a cult leader who they worship, who claims to be a holy man, tells her that she can't marry him. And she's upset, but she listens to him because she believes in this guy. And later on, I mean, it's clear to you in the movie, but later on he's found to be a phony. And it just shows how fragile things like that can be, like how easily someone can grab onto your belief and how easily you can be manipulated by them, even if it's all fake. Most poignantly, it deals a lot with Islamophobia in India and these cult-like practices that isn't necessarily native to Hinduism, but people will take advantage of those who want to believe. And it just points out to be wary of those things and also to never push someone away because of those things. Because as the female main character saw, the things that you believe in can be false. So don't use that as a basis to hurt people.
Yeah, this is, I mean, now I'm definitely even more wanting to watch this movie. But it's so relevant, like you mentioned, with, you know, whether it's like Islamophobia in India today, or even like in the Western world, all this different types of like religious discrimination. And I think it's such an important theme that needs to be discussed more. And if people are able to gain kind of insights from this, you know, like alien metaphor, in a way, because sometimes obviously these things are like uncomfortable for a lot of people to talk about. But if you're able to kind of say, oh, it's about an alien instead, and then you can kind of transition into like the deeper meanings. I think this is like what makes film and different types of media such like a great way for people to start talking about topics they didn't even realize they were being immersed in it.
I think my favorite thing about this movie is definitely that it's very silly. It is very silly. It is very funny. And as you said, it makes people more comfortable with the idea of talking about religion, especially in such a critical way. Where I watched this with my dad the first time, and he was saying, it's not like they're saying that like Hinduism is bad or religion, it's like that is bad or anything. It's not a criticism of any one specific religion. It's almost a criticism of all religion, and not the religion at its core, but the people who manipulate it for their own gain. And in that way, I think that's what was so successful in India, in a place that is very Hindu-based, even though it kind of villainizes a lot of people who are Hindu, because it criticizes everybody. And the other thing I like about it is that it is very silly. And as you said, it's very like metaphorical, like Zootopia. But at certain points, it is very direct about what they're talking about. You specifically watch this girl fall in love with this man. They're a beautiful couple. He's so kind. And she breaks up with him over his religion. And she's the main character, but somehow you dislike her because of it. And that way, I think it really is an intelligent movie.
That was a great discussion on that.
I think we're running out of time. So before we go, I do want to point out that not all movies are about like bad things in society. There are very good things about South Asian society. So I want to talk really briefly about this Tamil movie called Kala Kala Poo. Yes. It's a Tamil comedy, which I watched with my dad, and then I immediately texted Bilal and was like, we have to watch this. Because as you can probably assume, a lot of these movies are very sad. And those are like excellent movies, but sometimes you do need that like more faith in humanity type mm-hmm. of thing. So this movie follows a man who has inherited his family restaurant, and it's really not doing well. Like, people are trying to buy the property off of him. His brother's like in and out of jail, and it's like coming back and causing trouble. Falls in love with the health inspector who wants to shut down his restaurant. All types of things happen, and it's crazy things. There's like a gang, there's like diamond theft, there's all kinds of things that happen. But it is really about the relationships that he has with the people in his life and how he's able to just keep going. Because in reality, like, a lot of people deal with awful stuff, and you just have to keep moving on with like a positive spirit as much as you can. And it's just such a funny film that it really makes you root for like the underdog. By no means are any of the characters in this movie perfect, but you do want to root for them, and you are like, you do celebrate their successes. And it's just a fun, heartwarming movie that if you don't feel like crying, it's a great one.
Yeah. I'm so grateful that Varsha told me about this movie. We watched it, I think it was literally the last day of finals week last semester. Mm-hmm. So it was such a perfect way to decompress after like a stressful, you know, COVID only finals week. It was perfect. So really do recommend this heartwarming, super cute movie. I think that probably is all that we have time for. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB Community Radio and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 in the evening. Please stay tuned for our episodes in the future. This was Bilal Muzaffar and Varsha Anand, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you.